You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. That's one part blah, 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 one part ha, 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 and just a smidgen of ta-da!
The following programming is EI, educational and informative.
Ooh, no, it's not.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird if you like that sort of thing.
Thanks for stopping by. You didn't have to do this, and I appreciate it. Seem like a very busy person, although you're probably not, so I really do appreciate you stopping by. I'm going to entertain you for the next half hour. After that, you're on your own. We're just about 13 months away from possibly electing a fascist dictator, so enjoy. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I could do politics for the next 17 hours, but it's just, what's the point? What's the point? There's so many stupid people on this planet all living in this country right now that I don't know what to say. Anyway, welcome to the program. My name is Becky Johnson. I'm transgender. What the hell am I anyway? No, I'm not. I'm not. I don't know who Becky Johnson is. I use that name every once in a while to get in contact with my female self. I guess anytime I show any kind of emotion, I'm getting in touch with my female self. And every time women get out a screwdriver and put a doorknob on a kitchen cabinet, they're getting in touch with their male self, their macho self. It's crazy. What the hell are we doing? We're back in that 1950s kind of thing sometimes, aren't we, huh? But embrace your differences. Embrace the difference between men and women. And the major difference is not the fact that women can have babies. It's that women wear high heels. That's what bothers me. In any event, by the way, this program, it's not for young children. And I have a warning for you if you do have young children. And that is, you're in for a roller coaster life during their teenage years. Just watch out. That's all I'm saying. Just watch out. I don't know if children should be listening to this show or even have cell phones. I don't even think they should have that. Remember the good old days when children were occupied? You give them a wooden spoon and a pot and they'd bang on it for hours. Oh, those days are gone. Now it's expensive electronic gear and all that kind of crap. Bring back the pots and the wooden spoons, man. All right. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much. I got very excited for a while. I live in the Boston area. The Providence Performing Arts Center. Ooh, sounds big. They put out their shows for the rest of the calendar year. Not a lot of calendar left for this year. You got one more page to flip and then it's over. Then you got to open up a new calendar with a different picture on top. Anyway, upcoming in a couple of weeks at the Providence Performing Arts Center, Bush is going to be there. And I thought, oh my God, what does this man do? He stands on stage and recounts his years as president and the fond memories of invading Iraq. I mean, what how he apparently just listened to Cheney and should have not done that, you know. It must be a very entertaining night on stage, an evening with Bush. And then I read further, that's a musical group that I wasn't familiar with. I guess they're quite popular. And the name of it is Bush. So, like, I got confused. Wouldn't it be terrible if, like, you get tickets to Bush and then you get to the theater and you sit down and you're waiting, you know, for, you, they're going to play your favorite songs, and George Bush comes walking out. What a disappointment. You know which performer I never liked? I never liked this guy. And I don't know why I don't. The Boss. The Boss. Bruce Springsteen. Not Rick Springsteen. That's a different person. Bruce Springsteen. The Boss. Somehow, if you come from New Jersey, there's a little mafia twist on that somehow. I don't know why. I never liked The Boss. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. His songs are all the same. His songs are all the same. And I don't under, he's like Dylan. I don't understand a freaking word he's saying.
Get America on your face and don't save it. Hey,
I don't know what you said, Bruce. People love you. I don't understand what the hell you're doing. He's not a pretty man. She stands there, doesn't move around all that much. He'll sway back and forth and strum that baby, but beyond that, ain't a lot going on. Sweats profusely on stage. I'm not a fan. I'm just not a fan. I mean, whatever. That's what makes the world interesting. And that's how I'm going to sum that up. Oh, my God. I was watching television last night. I watched the monologue of Stephen Colbert, The Late Show, the heir apparent, and apparently he is, to Letterman. I've been to the Stephen Colbert Late Show at the Ed Sullivan Theater in New York about three times now. I've been to the Late Show three times, twice with Letterman, once with Colbert. They say at the beginning of the Colbert thing, the Late Show, they say, live to tape. Let me tell you something. It's not. At least they admit it's not live. They tape the show at 5:30 in the afternoon, is what they do. 5:30 in the evening, whatever. And so live to tape means that they do the show, but they're taping, recording it. There's no such, they don't tape anymore. It's all digital. We still use the term because, you know, we're not ready to change the term yet. So live to tape. So they tape the show, they record the show, but it's live, but they're recording it and running it later. It's not live to tape. I sat there in the audience. The monologue took like 20 minutes. Because Colbert makes a lot of mistakes. He stands up there, he does the monologue, he's got cue cards, teleprompter, the whole bit. And if he flubs a word, which I do every once in a while, certainly, I edit it out so you didn't know that I made a flub because I am so perfect. But with Colbert, they do the same thing. If he'll actually say, and yesterday I went shopping. And he'll use a curse word, and you know, well, that's going to stop. And then they stop everything, and then they ask the audience to laugh or applaud, and then they continue recording. And it's edited very quickly, and that's basically where the editing takes place. They also edit in the commercials, that kind of thing. They pre-tape segments, they post-tape segments, all that kind of stuff. It's not live to tape. And I know you don't care. I'm just saying that bothered me when I heard that. And now live to tape from the Ed Sullivan Theater. It's not live to tape, man. You've edited the damn thing. Just saying. I'm just saying. All right? Yeah, petty. I know it's petty. I'm just saying. Petty. Tom Petty. Remember him? Can you believe some of the younger people have already died? That hits home. It hits home. I mean, old age. Yeah, okay. Maybe. Not even. But young people, that hits home. All of a sudden, you stop in your tracks and you go, whoa, wait a minute. You do that, don't you? I know you do. You know how I know you do? because I have Alexa and she's recording everything you do, and I know when you do things. I've seen you in the shower.
Well, I don't have an Alexa device in the bathroom.
Oh, yes, you do. You don't even know it. That's how much you know about these things, huh? I have some interesting guests coming up a little bit later in the program. I'm going to be honest with you here because I am totally honest no matter what I do unless I'm lying. If I ain't lying, I'm telling you the truth. I love people. Before I get into that, I love people that begin sentences by saying, I'm not going to lie to you. I did eat the candy. You're not going to lie to me? What about all the other things you said? Were you lying because you didn't preface it by saying that you're not lying? Don't do that, you see, because you throw immediate questions into my brain. I'm not going to lie to you, or I don't like the way you look. So the times you told me you liked the way I look, you were lying to me? See, don't preface that. Don't do that. Don't do that. You're going to get yourself in trouble from people like me who overthink. I'm not going to lie to you. They do that in a court of law. They sit in the witness box. Where were you on the night of the 17th? Well, I'm not going to lie to you. Well, no, you can't lie to me. That'd be perjury, idiot. It makes him sound so honest. Oh, I'm not going to lie to you. Not this time. No, not this time. Anyway, the holiday season is upon us, and every year it gets upon us a little bit earlier. They started selling Halloween stuff and celebrating Halloween, the scary movies and pumpkins and all that back in August. Remember? Yeah, starts early. Christmas, it's tomorrow. No, it's not. Yes, it is. Christmas starts on Thanksgiving. Wait a minute, that's Thanksgiving. Next day is Christmas. Black Friday? Every day is a Black Friday. I'm getting circulars in the mail now. It's not even the middle of November, really. I'm getting circulars about Black Friday sales. And they start tomorrow. Tomorrow's not Black Friday. We're still in the middle of November. How can this be Black Friday sale?
Well, because we don't even know what it means anymore. I don't know. I don't know what Black Friday, I don't know. If there's a sale around the holidays, we're going to call it Black Friday. I don't care. I'll call what I want.
People are just don't even know what you're doing. You're just making stuff up now. You're making stuff up. You're misusing things that we have, and then you're making stuff up. Anyway, I'm starting to do a lot of interviews for this show on holiday gift giving, gift ideas. And I get really, really sick of it. I get so sick of it, it's not funny. But I do them anyway, because that's how I make my money. But anyway, I do them anyway because I really am out of gift ideas. This year, I am out. I am done. I am out of gift ideas. I have gifted, I'm not like 21. I'm 23. What? You don't believe me? I'm not going to lie to you. I'm 24, okay? I'm 27. So through my long life, all right, I'm 32. Through my long, 37. Through my long, 46, 48, 48. Through my long life, I have given a lot of gifts and received a lot of gifts, and I'm done. I have nothing left. I have nothing left to give that I haven't given before or had the idea that I wanted to give it but decided not to. And they always preface it by saying, well, here is the perfect gift for the person that has everything. I don't think you know what you're talking about. There's no perfect gift for the person that has everything. If a person has everything, they don't need your gift. And every gift has to come with a card, right? A Christmas card. Oh, my God. I'll get into that when it gets closer to Christmas. Christmas cards are like a review of somebody's entire family life because you haven't heard from them in a year. So I'm going to tell you everything that you really don't care about knowing. You're going to read it. I know you are because you're curious, but when it's over, you're going to say, I just wasted my time reading this piece of crap about a family that I don't give a shit about. That's going to happen. I'm not going to lie to you. But that's what it is. That's life in a barrel. It's like shooting monkeys. Do I have that wrong? Is that phrase, did I say that phrase wrong? There are monkeys involved with the barrel, but I don't think you're shooting the monkeys. I think you're shooting the fish in a barrel. Why? Why would you shoot the fish in a barrel if they're already in the barrel? Why would you do that? That's just cruel. Do I still have it wrong? Do I still have it wrong? Probably. Well, this is a hump day. It's the middle of something. I believe it's the middle of the week. And this is a hump day. This is the day that we honor the camels. There's one humped camels. There's two humped camels. There's three humped camels. There's seven humped camels. There's Campbell's soup. There's a lot of different things going on. I don't know what's inside those humps. I think they should see their doctors. It could be some type of tumor. I don't know what those humps are. I don't know. Is it because camels are walking through the desert and they get humpy? I don't understand even what I just said. Is that where the water is stored? Are there little water sacks inside those humps? Are two humped camels, do they have more water? Can they go further because they have two humps? Are they hiding extra gasoline in there? What the hell's going on with the humps? Now, if I went on that Google machine, which I really refuse to do because my hands get dirty and I don't wash the keyboard enough. But if I did go on the Google machine, then I would probably find out what's inside those crazy humps that the camels are toting around all day. But you know what? I refuse to do it. So I'm going to go to the library today and I'm not going to look up a book about camels. I'm going to go to the librarian and I'm going to say, Alexa, my librarian's name is Alexa. I'm going to ask her. I'm going to say, like, why do camels, what's inside those humps? And if they don't know, then I'm leaving. Isn't that the job of a librarian? Why should I go thumbing through books? Shouldn't the librarians know all this stuff? They're surrounded by books 24 hours a day. Well, not all day, but I mean 8 hours a day. I don't know how long their job is, 6 hours. I really don't know how long they're in the library. But they do it day after day. They should know everything, right? The Dewey Decimal System. I was taught that in school, and I still don't understand it. Dewey or don't we? I don't know who Dewey was, but created a decimal system for cataloging books in a library to the point where nobody really understands what to do with that. What kind of decimal is the book that I'm looking for? And when I was younger, because now I am only 52, when you went to the library, they had things called microfiche, small little fish like minnows, and on it was printed all this information. It was like a little slide projector, and it was microfiche, and little all the books were like, I have no idea what the thing was. I thought it was a porno machine. I didn't know what that micro... I still don't understand it. I don't understand microfiche. I think I'm pronouncing it properly. I don't understand the Dewey Decimal System. There's one thing that I do like about the library, and I haven't been to the library in a long time because no one's really told me to shut up recently, but that's the attraction of the library. People can't talk. And if they do, they have to whisper. And if they don't whisper, everybody's going to turn around and go, shh, and point to the sign that says, stop talking on the wall. Not stop talking on the wall. I mean, the sign is on the wall. That's the great thing about the library. People can't talk a lot. They have to be, I don't understand what Dewey Decimal System means. Why do camels have humps? And what's inside them? I love it. And the librarians, they're not hot until they take their glasses off and whip their hair down from that disgusting bun on the top of their scalp. And that's hot. That's a hot concept. So the library could be a fun place to be. people aren't really threatened in a library. You know, you don't, there's no vagrants in the corner near the fiction books. You know, they're just decent, God-loving or God-liking people who are educated or searching for education, who are inquisitive about the fine cultures and the use thereof in our sign in times of signs. They're civilized people and civil. And I like to be amongst them. I like to just sit in the library at a table with a book in front of me. I don't read the book. I just like being there, surrounded by people that are serious about learning. These are good people. These are good people. Not a lot of fun necessarily, but I'm not looking for fun anymore. I'm 60 years old now. Wait a minute. I'm 42 years old now. All right, 44. And I'm not looking for fun anymore. Fun is exhausting. Hey, Ron, you want to go have some fun? No, I'm not. I don't have the energy. You don't have the energy for fun? No, not anymore. What's the matter with you? You've lost all your fun. No, I haven't lost it. I just don't want to use it. I'm saving it up for like Thursday. I don't have a lot of fun left. Ron, that's kind of pathetic. Yeah, I know. But it's okay. I'll just sit here staring at a book that I'm not reading. And I'm good. Thank you. Thank you so much. Do you ever just go to a park? You know, with the thing with the trees and the park benches and the people walking around. Do you ever just sit there and just, you don't do anything. You stare at the clouds for a while. You watch the other people walking around. That's comforting to me. It's like, if I have problems in my life, look at all these other people. They've certainly got problems too. Otherwise, they wouldn't be walking around in a park. They'd be doing something, like having fun. These are my people. I'm amongst my people. All right, we're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, my guest will be joining us. But until that happens, you do have to listen to this.
Looking for a fun night out? Check out that bar near your house, now featuring live entertainment all weekend. Friday night, it's one guy and a guitar playing 90s cover tunes and original songs about his recent breakup. Catch a dose of classic rock on Saturday nights with that band fronted by that chick you knew in high school who's still pretty hot after a couple drinks. Sunday afternoons, it's three old guys and a hipster doing their very best to play jazz. And don't miss the big hot Sunday dance party with your DJ, the bartender's second wife's stepson with those weird things in his ears. It's all happening this weekend at that bar near your house. Not too far to drive, just a little too far to walk. We'll see you there.
Hillary Crow joins us now. She's Vice President of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Foundation and leads the National Civic Bee. Thanks for being with us today, Hillary.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Pleasure. Well, I guess the first question is, what is the National Civics Bee? I've heard of the spelling bee. Civics Bee, not so much.
Yes, the National Civics Bee is a new nationwide competition that encourages young Americans to engage in civics and contribute to their communities. For middle school students in grades 6 through 8, they have a chance to flex their civics knowledge to win recognition and cash prizes.
Wow. What is the importance of knowing about civics? Some kids don't even know what that encompasses, unfortunately.
That's right. We have seen a decline in civic knowledge as civics has not been taught in the classroom in a meaningful way over the last 40 years. But we believe that every American and every young person, whether they want to grow up to be a plumber or a president, we need to understand how our political system works and their rights and responsibilities as citizens. And that's our goal.
Well, they need to learn it really quickly because we need them fast. I guess they're too young to vote anyway for the most part. To be involved in their communities, et cetera, most people don't even go to local elections or even know what's going on in the town. And unfortunately, they say they're too busy, but that's not an excuse, is it?
Well, we definitely want to encourage all Americans, adults, you know, educators, elected officials, and community leaders in every place where we expand this national civics seat to become more informed and engaged in their political systems. And our hope is that these young people that we've seen competing in the national civics seat over the last 2 years will inspire them and motivate them to take more action and become more informed.
Which, unfortunately, in some situations, they have to do on their own or with their parents, right?
Yeah, so it's for middle school students in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, mm-hmm. and they can, you know, learn about the National Civics Bee in a few different ways, either from teachers, from flyers, or other marketing communications in their communities. But how the competition works is that they're invited submit an essay, which is 500 words or less, on an issue in their community and how they could use civics to improve it or solve it. And then the top 20 scoring essays, those students are invited to compete in a live competition at the local level. Winners from local competitions then advance to a state-level competition, and the state champions will advance to the national competition, which will be held in Washington, D.C. in the fall of 2024.
Very good. Then we'll have some good examples of what happens when kids learn civics, and that's a good thing. Have some kind of role model going on. So understand that it's not like a spelling bee where necessarily the schools are involved and the schools are in competition. This is for individuals anywhere, right?
Yes. If the National Civics Bee is in your state, which you can see the states that are participating currently at nationalcivicsbee.org, then you can apply to any competition in your state. So we've partnered with state and local chambers of commerce across 27 states for this school year, and you can apply to any local chamber within your state. There's no restrictions by zip code or anything like that.
Great. And what is the ultimate goal of the National Civics Bee? As if I think I understand, but what would be the actual goal?
We want to encourage all Americans. We want to reach young people, but also the adults, the educators, the elected officials, and business communities in every community across the country to really elevate civics as a national priority.
Yes.
Have this opportunity to engage in this fun, interactive way, but that at the same time really increases civic knowledge and helps decrease levels of polarization and, you know, educate folks about how our political and economic systems work and what their roles and responsibilities are within those systems.
Yeah. Many states and cities and towns, unfortunately, the school systems are local and not necessarily state-run. But they do have programs where the kids go out into the community and volunteer in something, and that's part of credit toward their education in school. And that's like the first step, and that's a good thing. And I'm glad that's happening, but unfortunately it doesn't happen everywhere. And it should be taught in the schools without question. All right. Now, once again, where we would go to find out more and to actually get involved in this.
Yes, whether you're a student, a parent, a teacher, a business leader, you can go to nationalcivicsbee.org to find out more about this year's competition, the states where competitions will be taking place, and other resources and materials. So we hope you go to nationalcivicsbee.org to learn more.
Great. And it's $50,000 in prizes. They're waving money in front of your face, but that shouldn't be the reason to do it. It should be.
No, we're seeing that these young people are learning a tremendous amount about our government at the local, state, and federal level, our history, you know, what makes America what it is today, and where we're headed as a country, and what their role is. And they are really motivating and inspiring young people, and we want to invite all students to have an opportunity to participate in this.
Wonderful. Hillary, it's been a pleasure speaking to you, and thank you so much for the conversation today.
Absolutely.
Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. But until that time arrives, thanks for stopping by. I wish you peace.